Right, right.
Blog Talk Radio. Hey.
Jay out there.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read
my name, King James Version. Born in 1611, I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend, but quote what was wrote, but it ain't the way it be living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, open the Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Nam. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to John.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't want to hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am, the saints' blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples out here still grinding. Remind them that the place they want to be is still dying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails. Mortars the bomb. Seven plagues, seven seals. Soldiers the swarm. Rage in the field. Soldiers, storms. The Cummins, the horns. You've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets so my creator can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober. But you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed to.
Yo, bro, it's 66 books and good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages above Cincy. But the saints study intensely, because there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth.
And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. You can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible, the Bible.
I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints, and the water's vital.
I'm the Bible,
God.
I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible, the Bible.
Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible, I'm the Bible.
I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom ain't getting there. I'm the number one selling book of all time. I'd have made billions, but if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'm going to show you mysteries.
All right. Shalom. And welcome once again to another episode of Word 2, this is Bible Talk. My name is Mashaka. I'm the teacher here with ISBHBK, the Israel School of Biblical History and Technical Knowledge. I'm looking at our morning morsel, whereas we try and get a little spiritual bread, a little spiritual morsel at the start of mornings throughout our day. We were a lot more diligent, a lot more consistent when we did have the ball here in Albuquerque. To help us keep our day started, that taking place. So we've kind of fallen off the horse, but having to get back on, we can't get things back in order. So our blocked up morning is what we're trying to have. We're going to get Sabbaths every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right now. We're trying to get every Tuesday, actually, not even Thursday. Not Thursday morning, because we don't do Thursday night. So for now, we're going to be doing Tuesday. You know what? Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday morning is going to be the Blog Talk schedule from now on until further notice. I mean, that's going to be Tuesday morning from what time is it now? Here, Albuquerque time. Friday morning, 9 o'clock, Albuquerque time. And also Saturday, which will be 10:30 for the Sabbath class, Albuquerque time. All right? And we invite everybody to please join us as we do our broadcast tonight and do our service, do our job, and get back on track of doing what the Most High Commission has to do as far as getting not only morning classes out, but they have to just wake up the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. With that being said, in the school in San Antonio, which is located at 4219 Civic Gate Drive, and I know I'm speaking fast, let me slow down. Plus, I got some congestion going on, so I can only imagine it's hard to hear me. We have classes at 4219 Civic Gate Drive. They're in San Antonio, Texas, 78217, being the zip code there. They have classes Tuesday through Friday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. We invite you to go to the school. Located there at 4219 Smith Drive to catch classes with Priest of Wonder Iron, Chef Juan, and also Carl Cobb, who is broadcasting live from Guatemala. He has a little closed circuit TV going on through the Skype, so you're able to go ahead and be there part of his class during San Antonio. Again, that's Monday through Friday, Tuesday through Friday. From 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., we invite you to join the brothers and sisters, the family there, up for class. So, certainly not least, we've got our school, the ISBHBK Houston camp, which is located at 8524 South Braidwood Boulevard. Again, that's 8524 South Braidwood Boulevard. They're in Houston, Texas. And they have classes Monday through Friday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Again, that's the local Houston time. That's Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. to 10 p.m. And if you happen to be in another state, another city, another location, you can log on to YouTube. Go to the YouTube channel, ISBHBK Live. Go to the YouTube channel, ISBHBK Live. And you'll be able to catch the class live as they're broadcasting there from Houston, Texas. And then also from Houston on the Sabbath day, Saturday morning, we have a Sabbath class where they go over the Torah reading from 10 a.m. Local standard time there in Houston from 10 a.m. to usually about 2, maybe 2:30, 3 o'clock, where they're going over the Sabbath readings, the Torah readings. Just give a person a basic understanding of the Bible. Not necessarily topic-based, like you might find for some of our blog talk shows or some of the shows you might find on YouTube, or you might find you have to go to classes throughout the week. But it's just reading the Bible through. Right? It's getting the basic understanding of the Bible of the first five books of the Bible, which is called the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And it's just bringing down basically three chapters a day. Three chapters a Sabbath to the reading and bring that out. And if you just want to get a good basic understanding of the Bible, excellently, extra classes. Real quick, give me Isaiah 44:16. Now, the only problem I have with this is I'm not going to be able to hear him trying to say anything. Let me try this. He can hear it, but he can't comment. Can you also hear me? What was my call there? ISBHBK Albuquerque morning morsel. I didn't hear that. Gabar, are you there?
Yes, sir. I am here.
Right. Hear over my computer though, so I can't hear you. I can't hear you say anything.
The connection that we have is. It's bad. It's a loud popping. So when you speak, I'm catching bits and pieces. Catching bits and pieces of it. Can you hear me clearly?
No, I can't.
Okay.
And for those listeners, I woke up early. We'll do a mic check. I had the brother Gamar, who knows electronics a little better than I do. The brother Toons, Native Son, Sal Miyad, if I'm saying that correctly, he says he can hear loud and clear.
Okay, is that better?
The Barguard is checking that his connection is bad. I don't even know what to do or say. I promise you, I woke up early. We was going through our test, trying to get a good mic test, to get on top of this. As these spirits are kicking our behind, and distractions, and priority, whether it be our health. Again, you can hear my congestion. I know that Brother Gabar is working on a severe toothache. And just several factors just trying to crash us. But we're going to do that. We're going to fight through this. We've got to fight through this. We're both fighting in the war. And that we have to try to prove and show him that we're about his work. And it doesn't matter about the obedience. We're here for him. Right, we're here for him. So we will read Isaiah 34 and 16. We'll get that real quick.
Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 16. Speak ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Shall fail. Let him still want her mate. For my mouth it has commanded, and in spirit it has gathered them.
Well, you should have one of the brothers here to break it down.
Verse 16. Speak ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Right here, that's what we're supposed to be. What is the book of the Lord? The only book. Lord, it's the Bible. So right here, it's something that we're supposed to read in the Bible. No one of these shall fail. None of the prophets, no other prophet is even there with this word that was given to us from the Most High Christ, not the book of the dead, not the book of the form that he takes. I don't even know what it is, it don't matter. If there's no other book that's compared to this, that the Most High handed down.
For my mouth it has commanded. For my mouth it has commanded. And his spirit it has gathered it.
Because the Most High put his spirit on men, monologue or direct down his heart. So there is no way that anything is going to compare, and there's going to be no way that any of the things that are written in God's book are going to fail. None, no way, no how.
Right, so thank you for that. Again, I was just going over that for those who just want to get a real good basic foundation of the scriptures. The story readings are an excellent path to take. I believe them are. It's broken by the baby's way. I really don't know what to do. What's going on? Just be frustrating as all out the world. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know what to do. If anybody's got their Wi-Fi turned on, please turn it off. Among them, they're seeing and hearing, that's just like the spirit, the soul, and then the day with the unlock of deep. Anybody here? Just for the Lord knoweth, I deliver the godly out of temptation, and reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them. I'm not sure. Anyone else can please text in, and then I have a broadcast come across right now. You know, if you text back in, so I was being heard. How's it come across on the computer right now? Good morning. What about anybody else? So I just read something.
He will take them that are of a filthy heart, your God. Behold, your God will come with
vengeance. Even God with the recompense. He will come and save. All right, hello. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you on my phone, but I don't think the shadow can hear you. Whatever reason, it appears to be the issue. But I want to listen in. But I can hear you on my phone.
Can you hear us right now?
I can.
It's still choppy.
It's a need that we can and confirm the people need. Say to them that are of a filthy heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with the recompense, he will come and save you.
I can hear the reader. I don't think that that our listeners are getting the same breakup that I'm getting. So I'm gonna try that real quick just to check and see also. Tommy Yates said he's hearing loud and clear. Hi, I'm trying to get into this. I know I've got a little bit of time. Where are we at right now? Isaiah 34:16 again. This shit is frustrating. Fuck.
Isaiah chapter 34:16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read.
Right here, like we said before, we're talking about the book of the Lord. There's only one book of the Lord. It's the Bible. So right here, the Most High is telling us that we're supposed to be reading out of the Bible.
No one of these shall fail.
Because no one of the prophecies that have been foretold of in these scriptures is ever going to fail. You know.
God shall warn her mate.
And there is no other book on God's green earth that is going to be able to compare.
For my mouth it is commanded. It has gathered them.
Because the Most High put his spirit on men to have these words come out of their mouth and also to write these words down so that now his people can come back and find out when it comes to things that the Most High foretold of or wants from us, this is how we do it. This is where we go to. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Period, point blank.
I need y'all to explain. I got to figure this out.
For a lot of our people out there who haven't really come into the full understanding of the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, their lives are governed off of feelings and emotion. You know, my day-to-day things go off of if I step on the crack to break my mother's back. If I walk under that ladder, now I got bad luck. If I broke that mirror, I got 7 years bad luck. We'll base our lifestyle off of everything but what the Most High has told us to do, and we can come back and find those instructions in the book he left for his people, the Bible. You know what I'm saying? We're true to form, stick to what's been handed down from generation to generation, but we see all the mistakes that's been made every generation and stick to those things. But we'll never go like the scripture tells us to in Isaiah 34:16 and seek out of the book and Lord and read. Like it tells us in Deuteronomy, 28, verse 1. Let's go through it real quick. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day.
So now, right here, we deserve to follow all the commandments that we've gotten from the Most High, and now where are we going to find those commandments at? In the book of the Lord, right. In the Bible.
Sure.
So now, the scriptures are letting us know that if we stick to what we read and we find out about the Most High's law, texts, and commandments according to the scriptures, read.
That the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth.
So now this is one of the things that the Most High foretold of in his prophecy for his people. That if they stuck to the book of the Lord, his people will be set above on high above all the other nations of the earth. Now, as we're coming back to find out who the chosen people are, so-called Negroes, the Indians, Haitians, Dominicans, Central American Indians, the Puerto Ricans, the Cubans, the North American Indians, the Seminole Indians, the Brazilians, the Argentinians, and the Mexicans, are his people above all the nations that are in the earth? That's the question. And we can look around and see, obviously, no, we are not. So, from one simple commandment that was stated right here in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, we understand that what? We're not on top because why? Obviously, we weren't following.
Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God.
But now, if you follow these laws, that's the commandments left by the Heavenly Father, there were going to be an abundance of blessings that were going to come upon his people and overtake them. But now, in our day-to-day lives, what do we really have to deal with? You know, I'm immersed under bill after bill after bill. I live from paycheck to fucking paycheck. Pardon my friends. You know what I'm saying? It seems like I can never come up. But this is letting us know what? We obviously have not been hearkening to the voice of the Lord our God diligently like the scriptures tell us to. So, we will let every other thing govern how we live our lives, as opposed to the God that was left for us, his people. You have anything to say, Ahmad? Any input on this?
No, pretty much the same thing. We nowadays we tend to lean more towards superstitions and beliefs handed down. Like, don't cut your baby's fingernails or they'll grow up to be thieves. Don't walk up under a ladder. Don't cross a black cat's path. We tend to give those things more weight than the Most High's instruction, than the finding out what really works, and that God is actually real, but rather than these superstitions and beliefs that you will not even find in the Bible. These beliefs that were, by the way, passed down by men, by man, take these pagan traditions along with that. These so-called holidays that you won't find in the Bible, along with all these superstitions, all these sayings, all these little beliefs that none of which you can find in the Bible. We tend to give these things more weight. We forgot. And we've gone so far away from the Lord, we forgot that the answers are all in the Scriptures. God is the one that's all-knowing. We forgot He's the Creator. And He gave us instructions to follow, and we don't follow those. We choose the base things. We choose the latter things to follow, thinking that they're going to work for us. And all this time, none of these things, these traditions and beliefs handed down by man, have really worked for any of us, have worked for God's people anyway. So we come to Scriptures, we come to find out, okay, this is why these things have been happening. This is why these setbacks. This is why a certain people on this planet can't seem to get ahead. Nothing seems to work for them. This is why. Oh, this is why slavery. This is why the conquering of the Americas, the way that they were so seemingly so easily conquered. This is why for a particular people, nothing really seems to work out for them as a nation, as a people. Now we understand why, because we went away from the instructions. We went away from the words of the Most High. And we started following man's customs and man's traditions and man's beliefs. And we wonder why none of these things have worked out for us. Because we start putting man above God, thinking that man knows better than God. Man's education system is far exceeds the instructions of the Bible, and that's where we went wrong. That's all I want to put on that.
In agreement with everything that the brother's bringing out, thank y'all, brothers, for giving me that time to be able to expound and bring out some great understanding and insight on what's going on. But going back to Isaiah 34:16, as I'm starting to get my wind down a little bit, Isaiah 34:16, we need that one more time, please.
Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16.
Another man get Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Let's get it.
Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read.
And again, one thing that we have to be careful of, be conscious of, as we come into the truth and find out who the Israelites, and we're dealing with everything, that we have to make sure that we continue to read out of the book of the Lord. Right? We have to make sure we continue to read from the Bible. We have to keep our heads in the book. And what you find is, every distraction that hits you, not to have your head in the book. Every distraction that comes up, not to keep searching, not to keep going into the book for stability, not to keep going into the book for a foundation. We don't keep going to the book for our answers. And as the brother was bringing out, we will turn to superstitions. Whether, you know, some of the ones that I'd never heard of that one before about cutting the fingernails, but I believe it's out there. I might call the brother a liar. I believe it's out there. And I'm not about to go into a long-ass thing about superstitions, but it's not just superstitions that we hold on to. It's a lot of the traditions that we've learned here in the Americas that we hold on to, from things our parents said, things our society says, things that culture says. If you're part of the hip-hop culture, there's a certain code of ethics, a certain code, a standard you're supposed to live by. If you're in the college tradition, there's a certain code and way of living that you're obligated to live by. And we hold on to these things, and they have nothing to do with the Bible. They have nothing to do with God. And more specifically, they have nothing to do with being a Hebrew Israelite, and nothing at all. So what we have to be careful of is that we get so caught up and distracted that we get out of the book, that we stop reading, we stop studying, we stop searching for stability in the Scriptures, to get our answers in the Scriptures. So in Isaiah 34:16, again, it tells us to seek out of the book of the Lord, right? That we are supposed to be seeking. No different than if you're playing Call of Duty, that's still one of the games still out there, and you're seeking to destroy the enemy. If you're playing Zelda, you're seeking for the diamond sword. Whatever the hell's going on, you're seeking. If you lose your keys, you're seeking for something. The Most High is telling us, the Hebrew Israelites, that we need to, for our stability, we have to seek to the scriptures. We have to seek to the Bible for a Hebrew Israelite stability. Now, if you're still living as an American, then you want to seek those things that would be a safety and a foundation for an American. If it's getting a good job, make sure your credit's good. Make sure you vote in the upcoming elections. Participate in the holidays, what have you, and the traditions of America. Then you're going to seek those things as an American that give you stability as an American. You might be a down south gully nigga. You just gully. You just dirty. Then you're going to seek those things that gully, dirty, grimy niggas do. The blunts, the weed, the bars. I'm not familiar with the drug nomenclature or the drug vocabulary, but you don't get into the oxys, into the codeine, the Xanax. You're going to be sipping that lean or whatever. You're going to be into all that type of thing, right? Because that's how you're living. So you're going to seek those things that as this type of person, you're going to seek those things that give you stability as that person. Again, even going back to a college graduate, you might seek the higher education. Or what do you call that? The postgraduate education. Where you go back and get more certificates. You go back and getting more credentials. But you go back and get like a tune-up, refresher courses or what have you. And you're going to seek those things so you might be stable in that lifestyle. You might be stable in that culture. But as a Hebrew Israelite, are you going back to the book to get stable as a Hebrew Israelite? Are you going back to the book to make sure you're doing things right as a Hebrew Israelite? Or now we're being influenced and seduced and misguided by all these other pressures, by all these other priorities, by all these other obstacles that are being placed in front of us, so that now to seek out the book of the Lord for my stability, to seek out the book of the Lord for my safety, to seek out the book of the Lord for my to make sure I'm still in the right mindset. Are we still doing those things, or am I seeking to horoscopes? Am I seeking to tarot cards? Am I seeking to dreams and visions? What is it that I'm seeking to try and find stability? If I'm not going to the book for my stability, you're not living as a Hebrew Israelite. You're not dealing as a Hebrew Israelite. And that's one of the things I kind of want to get into today. Are we living, again, as Hebrew Israelites, or are we being influenced, seduced, and pulled away? And this is one of the things that we really have to investigate. This is one of the things we really have to examine within ourselves. Am I being influenced by the ways of the world, especially in these times? Read that again. Who was reading?
Isaiah 34:16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord. And read.
It says, and read. Right? We have to read. We have to read. As much as we make time for everything else, we have to make time to read. And not just listening to class. Right? Not just listening to class. There's a thing that takes place when you read. You have to pay attention to what you're reading. You have to focus on what you're reading. You got to put your mind on what you're reading. You have just listening to class doesn't mean anything. Well, it's better than nothing. I'll say it like that. But the connection, the focus that's required to actually read. And you would think that in these last days, Hebrew Israelites, that's all you want to do. As a Hebrew Israelite, all you want to do is make sure that you're not being pulled astray, run amok, misguided. It would seem as a Hebrew Israelite, you want to make sure you're doing all that you can to make sure you're walking the right path, especially in these last days, that you're sitting down and actually reading. So again, can we read it again?
Yes, sir. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read.
We have to read. Right? You have to read. Read.
No one of these shall fail.
Now, when it says no one of these shall fail, it's talking about the prophecies. I don't know how many times I'm going to say this before it starts to sink in. The things that are not going to fail in the Bible are the prophecies that the Most High gave in this book. The prophecies will never fail you. Not one prophecy is ever going to fail that was written in the book. But if you're not reading, you're not going to be aware or up on the prophecies. And I'm not talking about just knowing about the animal, the mass animal deaths. I'm not talking about just the wars, rumors of wars, the earthquakes and volcanoes in diverse places. We're not talking about that. What about the seducing of still being drawn away of your lust? What about fleeing youthful lust? What about being conscious and aware of I know we always use it for a sexual connotation, but when you look at the word lasciviousness, where we're dealing with, it has a strong sexual connotation, but it's the feelings. How well are you dealing with the feelings that hit your mind, that hit your soul? Are you being on top of the feelings that you have? Are you aware of the prophecies that tell you in these last days that you're going to be given to your feelings? Are you putting on the whole armor of God to fight against the feelings that you're going to be attacked with, especially in these last days? The crazy thing is, we know we're dealing with feelings. A lot of us deal with depression. A lot of us deal with that feeling of being overwhelmed. So what do we look for? Some type of comfort. That comfort can come from binge-watching TV, binge-watching movies, binge-watching porn. In other ways, it comes that seeking comfort from depression, seeking comfort from the feelings, smoke, drink, or for Hebrew Israelites, because I'm a Hebrew Israelite, no, I can't smoke. Because I'm a Hebrew Israelite, no, I can't drink. But I eat like a garbage can. I got to find some of that comfort somewhere. So I'm just devouring chocolate. I'm devouring everything I know I'm not supposed to be eating. I can't stop devouring these things because I'm in a depression, because I have these feelings. I have these feelings of worthlessness. I have these feelings of again, just being overwhelmed. Finally, the feeling of lethargy, the feeling of just no motivation. If I don't, as I'm going back through my cycles and examining myself, finding myself wanting to consume gallons of energy drink. For those of y'all that were with me in Atlanta, y'all remember how it was for myself. But y'all also remember when I got that diabetic cyst on my testicles. And when I went to the hospital, to the VA, they thought, when they did the ultrasound to see if my testicle was still alive, they couldn't find my testicle in the ultrasound. So they thought it was completely dead. So the way it was really set up was, they were going to cut off my right testicle. Prep me for surgery and everything, because they didn't want it to get cancerous and spread quick through my body. Next thing I know, I'm saved, laying on this gurney, and they do the countdown. 5, 4. It went until they actually went in and cut my testicle sac open and all the pus and all the mucus that was in my sac drained out, and they saw that my testicle was still alive. They were still working. But there was so much pus and so much mucus that they were about to cut my right testicle off. I say that for the shame of things. That I know how detrimental and how dangerous and how, what's the word, extreme, deadly my consuming energy drinks can be. I've had from, and that was my first diabetic cyst. First it was on my nuts, my testicles. Then it was on my back. And then the last one was about 2 years ago, just getting here to Albuquerque. There was one right next to the anus. I've been trying to use some clean words. And then that got so bad, they had to give me a catheter because my bladder shut down. I've never been in so much pain. Going through that pain of the cyst, right next to the money shot, I mean right there, the running a catheter several times, the catheter, I was so miserable, I asked Most High for death. I asked him, please take me out. I can't, this is unbearable. And again, what was going on 2 years ago? We was doing affairs. We was doing working the malls. So I'm consuming energy drinks because, and my reasoning was my energy level so down. I need something to keep me going. When I don't even know if they sell them anymore now, but Monster has the BFC. Is that what it is? The BFC.
The huge can.
This can is ridiculous. Big freaking can is a nice word. But they have the green letters, BFC. When I can consume 3 or 4 of those a day, when I can consume a Monster drink 15 minutes before I go to bed and sleep, something's wrong. A Monster's supposed to be Monster drinks, energy drink, even 5-hour energy. That's supposed to be for truckers. That they come into the end of the 12-hour shift or whatever, and they need a little something just to give them a little edge just to finish out that shift. Maybe half a Monster a day. Maybe a day. Remember back in the day, it used to be just a cup of coffee in the morning was all was needed. One good cup of coffee, a Folgers in the morning, that'll be all that's needed for any energy throughout the day. So I know how bad injuries are for my person. And now I'm finding myself, now my body wants to go back through that cycle. It wants to go back to the energy drinks. It wants to go back to consuming large amounts of coffee and caffeine. It really wants to take me there. And if I'm not getting back on top of myself, I'll be there. These are the things we're supposed to be looking out for. And these type of prophecies. They got nothing to do with the mass animal deaths. They got nothing to do with volcanoes. They got nothing to do with earthquakes. They got nothing to do with the heart machine. They got nothing to do with that. And then do what Esau and what Donald Trump's got going on with Kim Jong-un, what have you. Are you on top of the prophecies concerning you? Are you on top of the prophecies concerning these seducing spirits that will take you over? Are you seeking out the book of the Lord and reading about these spirits, these seductions, these distractions? Because none of the prophecies of God have failed or ever will fail. Read that again, the whole thing.
Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it is commanded.
One more time.
For my mouth.
Yeah, the whole thing.
The whole thing. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. Speak ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail.
None of the prophecies in the Bible have failed or are going to fail. Not one. Read.
None shall want her mate.
And you cannot find another book that gives you prophecies. As the brother Solomon mentioned, the book of the dead. The book of the dead has not one prophecy in it. The Quran has not one prophecy in it.
The Book of Mormon
got no prophecies in it. No Mason book you might go out there and get has any prophecy, and damn sure no goddamn comic books. They're not going to give you any prophecies that you can go and record and measure and chart and see, damn, this happened, this happened, this happened, this is going on. No other book will give you prophecies like the Bible does. Not one. Read.
For none shall one hurt me, for my mouth it has commanded.
And God's mouth gives us what? Prophecies. That's what makes God true. That's why the scripture says that God cannot lie. God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. God commanded the prophecies. They cannot be broken. Read.
And his spirit is not gathered.
And God's spirit gathered these prophecies together in this book for us to be able to recognize, see, acknowledge, learn from, be aware of, so now we can be stable when it comes to the mind of God. And we can be stable and understand what's really going on. All right? Let that go. Get Romans 15 and 4.
Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime, written for our learning.
And what things were written aforetime? The prophecies. The prophecies were written aforetime. So we might be able to do what? Learn. Read it from the top, please, sir.
Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime, written for our learning.
Whatever was written aforetime was written for our learning. If you're a Hebrew Israelite, what did God have written aforetime for you as a Hebrew Israelite? The prophecies. Not the book of Jasher, Jubilees. Not the Egyptian book of the dead. Because, you know, you hear some Israelites, you got to know all wisdom. You out your damn mind. As a Hebrew Israelite, I'm supposed to be aware of the prophecies. Read.
Through patience and cover of the scriptures, we have hope.
That we, through patience and cover of the scriptures, which gives us the prophecies, we might have hope. Now, let me ask you this. Well, let me go ahead and just speak. I know it's going to take too long to get it. If the prophecy in the scriptures were written aforetime for our learning, it was written for our learning that we might have what? Hope. So what's going to be attacked? So our hope is going to be attacked. My reason for pushing, my reason for striving, the reason for getting up every day, as far as Hebrew Israelite, because as an American, you get up every day anyway. You go to work, do this, do that. As an American, you do that anyway. But as a Hebrew Israelite, why do I get up and push every day as a Hebrew Israelite? I'm supposed to have hope that these prophecies are true. I'm supposed to have hope that the Bible is true. But if I'm not studying, if I'm not seeking out the book of the Lord, how can I match the prophecies with what I have going on in my life? So that I might have more hope in the scriptures. So I might have more belief, more energy, more drive, more spirit in these prophecies, in these scriptures. But if I'm not studying, then you know what you find yourself doing? You find yourself being choked out. I like wrestling. Well, I guess more like wrestling. WWE. You ever see somebody get choked out and it just takes, they swear they fight them all they might, but they slowly get weaker and weaker?
Yes, they go through the motion where the ref will hold up their hand and their hand drop.
Right.
And they always do it three times. Second time, it's
dropped. And
then that third time, they hold it up and it's almost dropped and
they
stop. And start shaking.
Right. He was good for that. Now, that's WWE. Have you ever choked a person out for real? And choking a person out for real, they don't put up their biggest fight, but as the oxygen is getting cut off, their punches, their wilding, their flailing gets weaker and weaker and weaker. This happens in the spirit to Israelites. You're striving, you're pushing, your strength gets weaker and weaker and weaker because you got your head out the book. So your hope, your drive, your energy, your passion, your belief is slowly but surely drains away. And it's a process. It's not instant. Excuse me. It's not instantaneous. It wears you down. It's like when Floyd Mayweather fought Conor McGregor. If that's his name. That Floyd understood. Conor McGregor is trained to go maybe 3 rounds. Floyd's the most in MMA. Floyd Mayweather just know. Let me just take you to a lot of rounds. Let me get you to the 10th, 11th, 12th round. Your arms will be like tree trunks. You won't be able to pick them up. And I'll just pick you apart. And then I'm just going to wear you out. A lot of body shots, a couple of head shots, and then just slip you. Or just use his incredible defense that Floyd has. Ain't gonna be nothing. All you gotta do is get you past the 5th, 6th round. This fight's done. God is gonna wear you down. How did Muhammad Ali do with George Foreman? Warmed up. Warmed up. Tie himself out. And that fight was done. The same thing happens to us in the spirit. The same thing happens to us as Hebrew Israelites. Whatever battle it is that you're in, it wears you down. It brings you down. And it's over a period of time. It's not abrupt. If you go and study boxing, when you knock somebody out, unless it's just like one of them incredible shots that you catch in the first round, usually when somebody gets knocked out like the 5th, 6th, the middle rounds, the one who gets knocked out didn't even see the punch coming. It was usually a combination. It was usually a combination where the one throwing the combination, it's on muscle. He's on muscle memory. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4. He's just doing muscle memory. But he catches that his opponent. The opponent doesn't even see it coming. Doesn't even see it coming. But he catches that money shot. Boom. That's how it'll be for us in the spirit. We're getting hit with these combinations. We're getting hit with these blows. And it's taking away our hope. It's taking away our drive. It's taking away our passion. It's taking away my reason for getting up every day as a Hebrew Israelite. To want to do something as a Hebrew Israelite. So now, again, I find my passion, my push, my drive to be an American. Because this Hebrew Israelite thing really ain't quite working. But I'm still praying for my food. I'll still, when I see another brother or sister, I'll throw a salute up. But beyond that, my hope, drive, my push, my spirit is dwindling day by day, little by little, here a little, there a little, is coming down. And it's hard to not find the reason to keep pushing. It's hard to find the reason to stay motivated. It's hard to find a reason of why I do any of this. But that happens because we're not keeping our head in the book. Even for myself, make sure these blog talk classes keep going. These morning morsels, these morning tidbits, these morning energy bars, these morning Pop-Tarts, whatever you want to use. That this is to keep nourished, keep it fed. Not the only nourishment. You're supposed to have dinner. You're supposed to eat. You're supposed to be doing your own studies at night. This morning class is supposed to be just a reminder, not the meal. It's supposed to be a reminder, a supplement. Your daily vitamins. These supposed to be your daily vitamins. They'll keep you going throughout what you got going on. Not the only source of scriptures that you get. You can be malnourished. You're going to be weak. You're not going to make it. So we've got to stay on top of ourselves. What scripture are we at? Let's read it one more time. Romans 15 and 4, right? I'm with it.
Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Whatsoever things are written aforetime, written for our learning, but we who are patient and comfort of the scriptures might have hope.
And right there, there's another key word, that patience. I know I'm not the only one. Everything's trying to frustrate. Everything's trying to annoy. If I was a baby, I'd be grumpy, moody. And every little thing going on is trying to get me to level 10. Trying to get me just frustrated, annoyed, pissed off, angry, and or the flip side, just get numb and not give a damn. Just get numb and I don't care. Forget bathing. Forget any type of hygiene. All I want to do is come in, lay down, watch TV, get on my phone, some Facebook, whatever, and go to sleep after I eat something. Hygiene is not even a priority on my list no more. It don't matter. The scripture says, I think you read it earlier. It said, I went by the field of the slothful. I went by the house of the slothful. And what? The field was full of weeds. The house was full of decay. But why? Slothful. Lethargic. Lazy. I'm not trying to stay on top of things no more. Discipline is gone. I'm not on top of my diet. I'm not on top of hygiene. I'm not on top of trying to even keep the house in any type of presentable display. I don't care. I'm slowly but surely getting more numb and more numb and more numb. I'm slowly getting that without even smoking a blunt, smoking weed, I'm getting that, like Cat Williams said, that effort ingredient. I don't care. I don't care. These are things that we're supposed to be looking out for. And again, the reason these spirits are able to come back and get on us as easy as they do, we're not studying the right scriptures. We're also studying the right scriptures to apply in our lives. So now there's no patience, there's no comfort, and slowly but surely a person starts losing hope. If we ain't careful of these things, this is what the Most High that you know is out here. Now, good morning. You see a scripture in the Bible? Somebody can read it for you. Somebody read it for him. Yeshua, read it for him. Wake up. Wisdom of Solomon has always been in the Apocrypha. Wisdom of Solomon has always been in the Apocrypha. Wisdom of Solomon. That's what's up.
For it was neither earth nor mollifying blasters that tore them to hell. That word, O Lord, which tells all things, or which heals all things.
Well, was the same as Sabbath about how having like no energy or like feeling like no energy, depressed, or angry, mad, sad, stressed out, inundated, overwhelmed, etc. So it's try to go for what trying to measure to solve us.
Okay.
And the great thing is the statistics, both the statistics, the statistics,
session with 33 talks about how healthy your mind also corresponds to healthy your body. They go hand in hand.
That's true. That's true.
So you have a healthy mind, you want to have a healthy body. You don't sit there and go through the scriptures and read. God says, well, it's not an herb and well-defined pastor. But it's something physical that we did that restored our health. Was it fact because I took this little herbal pill, this little herbal medicine, or the DNC multi-man, or
the patch? Let's get all them. Well, there was zinc, there was ginseng, there was the Gil Bilboa.
I had all of that. What kind of herb and mollifying fats? Mollifying fats is just something that you put down your body. You got a broken arm. It's not holding in place. But that word, although, so that's all I'm saying. Scripture that gives us the either the strength. Peace of mind. It's, this is the only thing that's able to heal. Now, you know, the Proverbs, they talk about how a spirit of a man is sustained in infirmity. But it says that for the wounded spirit, who can bear? Well, if I'm giving my money, I'm giving myself all this crazy stuff, and
getting chance, you got to speak up.
I'm giving myself all this crazy stuff, and I'm not going direct to the scriptures to get the healing that I need. And I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to fall into a state of depression. I'm going to sit there, and I'm very weak mentally. By being very weak mentally, I set myself up for better. I set myself up for Lord will surely be given to all this crazy. Whether it be depression, whether it be binge watching, I'm just trying to sit there and I'm just trying to binge and gorge of any creature comfort. I'm not sitting there going to the scriptures to get that peace of mind, that other mind, that other body. But I said, but that word of the Lord which healeth all things. It says, even Christ said, it's the spirit quickening. That's probably nothing.
Sorry. So, in staying on top of these type of things, and staying on top of ourselves, and being aware of the prophecies . Let's get Zephaniah 2:1.
Gather yourselves together. Put it together, O nation not desired.
Right, this is a command from the Most High. Right? Yeah, that we're supposed to gather ourselves together. Yeah, gather together, O nation not desired. The 12 tribes. The 12 tribes of Israel. We're supposed to be gathering ourselves together. But when we don't stay in the book, how much of that drive to want to gather together stays fresh? How easy is it to skip this, skip that? Or you dread that phone call. You dread seeing another Israelite. Because you just want to get in, go to your place, and be done. I don't want to see, I don't want to have to think. I don't have to give. I'm in selfish mode. I want to just be in a fetal position in my pain, misery, sorrow. And gather together, I'm not feeling that. And again, dealing with the feelings. I'm not feeling that. So, to counter that or to cut those feelings, I just want to be by myself. I don't want to be around nobody right now. What scripture did the Most High give us that we cut those feelings, cut those thoughts, cut those spirits? Zephaniah 2:1. Read again.
Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 1. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desire?
That's what the Most High gave us, to cut those thoughts, to cut those feelings. The scripture, that's supposed to heal my mind. When my mind is telling me, you don't want to gather, whatever justification that we're going through, trying to give ourselves over, the scripture says what? Gather yourselves together, ye gather together, O nation not desired. Because as your hope draws away, the reason becomes, why gather together? It's just going to be some BS. Why come around? This is going to be sad. This will happen. I already know it's going to happen, so why do it? I mean, it's the same old thing over and over and over again. I don't want to gather together. But the scripture says what? Gather together, O nation, not desired. I'm supposed to use that scripture to combat the thoughts of, I don't want to come around. I don't want to be there. Hold this. Hebrews 4:12 tells us what? Hebrews 4:12 tells us what?
Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
And coming behind what Jamal was just bringing out, that the word of the Most High is quick and powerful and sharp and two-edged sword. Instead of finding a carnal way of dealing with a spiritual problem, the Most High gave you a tool to be used to go against those thoughts. The word of the Most High is what?
And it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Read.
Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit.
Yeah, the word of the Most High will even cut and sunder soul and what?
And spirit.
And spirit. So when the spirit of I want to be by myself, the feelings of I don't want to be, I don't want to gather, I can't stand to look at you. What cuts that spirit in a believer? I mean, let me make sure I say that also. What cuts that spirit in a believer? The word of the Most High. Scripture says, gather yourselves together. You can gather together, whole nation by desire. That scripture cuts that thought. That scripture cuts the thought of a Hebrew Israelite. If you're an American, that scripture ain't going to mean nothing. If you live your life as an American or what have you, that, these scriptures don't mean nothing to you. And there's a scripture that tells us that too. Reading on.
Into verse 12. And of the joints and marrow, and of the discerner of the thought and intent of the heart.
One more time from the top. I'll bring this up.
Okay. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and
okay, Bob, where we at now?
Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit.
So it's almost like he's giving you a tool to use to cut these thoughts, cut these emotions. But again, this one is what I'm doing. Go to Hawkins. 4 and verse 17.
Ephesians 4:17. Say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in vanity.
We're getting together. I'm going to text you. Got to be a lot louder. A lot louder.
This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. their mind.
So Scripture says, don't be like the nation. Don't be like an American walking in the vanity of your mind, of your own thoughts, of your own feelings. Which, in, when it comes to the Most High, don't mean a damn thing. The Most High does not really care what you think about whatever or what you feel about whatever. Don't walk like the nations walk in the vanity of their mind, based on how they feel. Read. And read loud.
Having the understanding darkened. Having the understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them.
It says that their understanding is darkened. You really don't, when you go by your feelings, you have no understanding when it comes to God. I'm sure everybody can understand their own thoughts and their own feelings. But when it comes to understanding God, no. Your thoughts, Isaiah 55, right, says, as my, give me that real quick. Isaiah 55, 8, 9. Yeah, exactly. We got 10 minutes before class is over. Let's read it.
Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. But the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Right. So Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. Moses says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. But when you walk here as an American, you walk here as a Gentile, you think your thoughts are God's thoughts. You think that you share the same thoughts as God. No. Your thoughts, God is letting us know. Your thoughts are not God's thoughts. How you look at it, how you would do it, how you would put it together, has absolutely nothing to do with how God looks at it and puts it together. But we try to make God see it our way. Again, we think because I feel it, that's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because I feel it. That's all there is. Because I felt it. I think it. But again, the scripture says what? God's thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are his ways your ways. No. A lot of times, brothers and sisters, we come to the truth and we ask, is there a better way of doing things? There's got to be another way of doing this. This we just read says what? God's ways are not your ways. But how many times do we find ourselves trying to make the truth conform to our way of doing things? How many times do you find yourself saying, well, if it was me, I would do it this way? Well, if I was in charge, I'd do it this way. I see why we got to do it this way, that way, whatever. If it was me, I would do it this way. I'm sure you would, because your ways are not God's ways. Because your way of doing things has nothing to do with how God does things. Nothing. And like the Gentiles who walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, because they're going by their own understanding of how they would do things, but not how God says do things. Not how the Most High says does things, says to do things. Read, verse, I'm sorry, Ephesians 4 and 18. Who was reading? Right.
Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Because
they're really blind. They're blinded by their feelings. They're blinded by their own emotions. They're blinded to the ways of the Most High. This is how I feel. This is what I see. This is what I think. And that's all there is to it. You can't tell them shit. You're blind.
Over to the left. Shoot. Lasciviousness.
He says, who being past feeling.
Past
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19, who being past killing, I'm numb. Scriptures don't mean nothing to me. I'm past that. You can read scriptures all day long. It don't matter. You try to make me feel bad, try to make me feel this, it doesn't matter. I'm past feeling. And this person has given themselves over unto lasciviousness. All they're ruled by is their feelings, how they feel, how they see it, what they think. On extremes, it's to a sexual nature. But it's talking about how strong they're ruled by their feelings and their emotions. There is no reasoning with this person. There's not a scripture you can pull. There's not nothing you can do. Finish the scripture.
With greediness.
All right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19 says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. They're greedy to be unclean. They can't get enough of being unclean. They just can't get enough. Because they're ruled by their feelings. They're ruled by their emotions. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 says, but ye have not so learned Christ. Christ is not about his feelings. He's not about your feelings. Christ didn't want to get on the cross. His feelings told him what? No. But the Spirit said what? You got to go through this. So he had to deny his feelings in order to please the Most High. We're going to get in this class right now. It's going to, we got 5 minutes.
The scripture before this, though, where were we at? Or any no statement. Let's finish that. Hebrews 4 and 12. Let's finish that.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
And it said, it's the discerner of the hearts and intent, the discerner of the what?
It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's what the scripture is giving for. That's what the tool the Most High is giving us to be able to deal with and fight these battles that we're faced with. But again, when you find yourself losing hope, there's a reason. You ain't studying the right scriptures. If you find yourself losing hope, going over color is not going to help your hope. If you find yourself losing hope, going over, give me a basic, simple ass class. Ain't gonna do nothing. Ain't gonna do squat. You gotta go study the right class. That's where you're supposed to be in touch with somebody. And they'll tell you what to go study, they'll direct you on what you should be studying. To help overcome these things. So with that, I do want to go ahead and thank everybody for tuning in. All right, the time is 10:30. We're going to shut this class down. The next class, Blog Talk class, will be tomorrow evening. What is today?
It is Tuesday,
number 16. Today is Tuesday. The next Blog Talk class that we will have will be Thursday evening, 8 p.m. Thursday evening, 8 p.m. All right? No. We're going to make it Thursday morning. I don't want to compete with Cabo Cop, who's doing class in San Antonio at 8 p.m. Yeah, I don't want to compete with that. So, Be on standby. Be on standby. Yeah, most likely it will be Thursday morning. Even though we will be having a class Thursday night also, I've got to determine which one we're going to put on Blog Talk. And then definitely again Friday morning. Just stay tuned. I've got just about everybody's number on in text. And just like we did this morning, to let you be aware that this class, we're doing the same thing. And we'll put the network out like that, the network message out like that, to let everybody know next time we're in class. So with that, if you're in San Antonio, we invite you, please, join Warner Iyer as he teaches class tonight, starting at 7 there in San Antonio.
Oh, Warner's actually teaching again.
So with that, I do want to thank everybody for tuning in. My name is Mashaba.
Gamar Yalla.
Gamar Kawa.
We would like to thank you all for tuning in. And with that, we're going to say shalom. Shalom.
Shalom.